You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Beckley, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batour Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I just read the most pretentious article about people wearing midriff tops in New York City and how streetwear has become more revealing. Basically just a guy pearl clutching.
It was an old man who was unnerved by exposed skin.
A man whose name is literally Guy.
Oh God.
Wrote an article. Let me just read.
He probably
says
it's pronounced Guy.
It says, as recently as a decade ago, it was a rarity to spot people on Fifth Avenue in Washington Square Park riding the subway or milling about at airports in various states of advanced
dishevelment.
It says dishabille.
Dishabille?
Dishabille. I don't even know how to say this word. It says, anyone who's taken a stroll in New York lately can tell you that's not true anymore. People, in other words, are running around half naked.
Oh, God.
Please.
Dishabille is the state of being only partly or scantily clothed.
What would he do if he went to South Beach for a day?
Yeah.
Be mortified.
Bralettes, itty-bitty bandeaus, and crocheted bikinis are everywhere. So, too, are Daisy Dukes cut high enough to expose buttocks curvature. And these items are by no means relegated to people who identify with the pronouns she and her. What is that supposed
what
to
is
mean?
What is going on right now? What are you reading? Wait, what was that?
It's a New York Times article.
What year? What year is that?
From like, literally today, July 22nd, 2021.
It's not limited to she or her.
Buttocks so curvature? That's something I never thought I'd hear.
Buttocks curvature was in the Times today. It's like basically this guy just criticizing how streetwear has gotten more revealing, and this never happened in my day. You should do a back in my day about that, Greg.
Didn't Daisy Dukes come out in like 1980 something?
Right.
Like, what are we talking about?
Dukes of Hazzard, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe well, earlier. Not New York City.
Maybe earlier. No, I'm out here wearing 5-inch seams. Like, you know what I mean?
Five-inch
like,
seams, Tony, yes. I'm so happy that we're not all wearing knee-length shorts anymore.
I have, like, one pair of shorts that are knee-length that are in the back of my closet that I don't wear.
Wait a minute, you wear yours higher?
Oh, very high. Very high.
Nah, dog.
Yeah, no. Very high. 5-inch. Roy, count 5 inches, whatever that would be, and that's where the shorts are. So from your hip, 5 inches.
Perfect length.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. Makes me so much more free.
I just want to do it.
That's fine, but I feel like, Roy, you're not the type of person to write an article criticizing other people for doing it.
Also true.
No, I don't care. No, it's not my
Which
business.
Is what this guy is doing.
How and old is he?
That's a great question.
Old, probably.
Right, I'll read the kicker. Seen in that light, underwear on Fifth Avenue was probably always a logical endpoint in a progressive blurring of distinctions between public and private, or so I imagined until an afternoon last week when glancing up from my harvest bowl at Sweet Green, I spotted through the window a young woman casually crossing Astor Place wearing a pair of cutoffs, some sandals, and it was fully legal to do this, naked above the waist.
What is
Astor
Place?
So he basically wrote an entire article about how, like, suddenly people are wearing more revealing clothing just to be like, hey, I saw a naked lady last week. Like, just write an article about the naked lady, because that's kind of interesting.
But it's New York City, right? Like, don't you see weird shit all the time? Naked cowboy. Just, like, weird people all over the place doing weird things. Why would you write about something that's just kind of normal.
I feel like he specifically mentioned Fifth Avenue for a reason. He's probably like protecting almost like a classism about what that is, isn't it?
Well, yes, like Fifth Avenue is like the wealthy shopping district in New York. That's where all the flagship stores are for Saks and, you know, all of the fancy stores. But it's also like, dude, it's July. There's been 3 heat waves already this summer. Like, it has been in the hundreds here for the first time in like decades. Let people wear a bikini top on the subway if they want. Like, the subways aren't even freaking air conditioned. Who approved this as an article? It makes no sense to me.
I mean, it does reflect a sensibility, right? Like, there are many millions of Americans who find exposed skin to be unnerving, right? Like, it is reflective of some people's way of thinking. It's because you're a classic New York elite, you know, who just thinks that, you know, everyone thinks like you, and, you know, out in middle America, you know, there's a different sensibility to the one that you have, Jess.
I actually disagree. I think that this is the opposite of that. I think this is him being an elitist who thinks that you need to wear a petticoat and tails to go outside to get your frickin' Harvest Bowl at Sweetgreen. Whereas we live in a city.
Harvest Bowl at Sweetgreen.
That's how you ended that?
That's what he wrote. That's what he wrote. That was in his article. Thank you, Tony. Tony was listening. That was in his article, that he saw a woman naked from the waist up at Astor Place. Guess what? There's probably 50 women naked from the waist up at Astor Place every day. It's Astor Place. Like, you get what you signed up for.
What
going
is that?
To the
Sweet what
Green
is that? Yeah,
what is that? What's Astor Place?
Guy, you sound like such a New Yorker. It's not even funny. Oh, my God.
Oh, Astor
you sound like
Place.
Yeah, guess what, Whitty? I live in New York. Of course I sound like a New Yorker. You sound like a South Floridian sometimes. And
no,
that's
but,
cool, because that's where
but,
you're from.
No, but what you're saying is detached from a reality in most places in the country, right? Most places in the country would be unnerved if all of a sudden they started walking around in the street and there are people not wearing clothes.
Right, but I'm saying, like, that is the only part of this article that is, like, remotely interesting to me, is that this guy saw some naked lady and was like, huh, naked lady. I guess it's not that interesting, though, because I see naked people all the time in New York. But my point is...
You do?
You wrote an entire... like, New York, there's just, like, this is the reality here.
Wow. I gotta move
and
there.
That's...
You do. You live
you
in the
been
same
on the
place.
Beach?
What are you talking about? Like, I don't...
Waves.
People from New York come to Miami naked. And think we're all naked all the time. New York's not naked all the time. Do you see how people dress in Miami?
Have you not been to Hollywood Beach?
Well, that's a nude beach. I mean, that doesn't quite
Greg
count.
Cody has been to a nude beach.
I have.
Really?
Yeah, I'm right.
How'd that go?
It went pretty well, actually.
Did you partake?
Here's the weird thing about a nude beach. Most of the bodies there, you don't want to look at. There are people. A lot of them are people my age. They're like big, overweight Canadians. I mean, it's not a pretty sight, I'm telling you.
Why are you smearing the Canadians?
Well, I just use that as an example.
Are they walking around with a flag? How'd you know?
Yeah, they do.
Keep in mind how he started that sentence. Here's a weird thing about a nude beach.
Nudity.
Well, it is. I mean, I think most people who've never been to a nude beach have a preconception about it that's totally wrong. Yeah. You know,
so you're saying they romantically think that they're going to see beautiful people nude.
Pretty much.
At a nude beach,
yeah,
when in reality it's not.
Right, exactly.
In reality, it's right. You nude.
I've actually been to 2 nude beaches, one with Edwin Pope in Barcelona in 1992. What a trip.
There's a visual.
Yeah,
by the way,
that's
why,
a visual.
Why is the naked cowboy not naked? Jess, you're a New Yorker.
Will you
doesn't
slow
that
down?
Annoy you?
Will you slow down, yeah, please?
Let's marinate like in pace, you in Barcelona in 92.
Just slow down, because you just said, I went to a nude beach with Edwin Pope
God
in 1992.
Right.
God rest his soul.
Indeed.
I would like the audience now, since we are doing a copy and paste show, to simply Google image Edwin Pope.
All I have in my head is the tiny picture that went next to his columns when I was holding the newspaper at the barber shop. Like, that's what I'm imagining, just like a 100 by 100 picture,
right?
So on a nude beach.
We're Googling Edwin Pope nude.
No, don't do that.
I think, and this, we got in trouble here with Howard Schnellenberger and, you know, and Bob Greasy, who didn't like the way that we remembered the memory of Edwin Pope at Marlins Park. They wanted something more noble, less dirty, like Cody and I are. And so we just did it by a Clevelander pool at Marlins Park, and they, I think they came in suits. They were, and we had an open bar.
It was a party.
But did they know where they were going? At the Cleveland or at Marlins Park, what kind of memorial was that going to be?
Well, it did not become the memorial they were thinking it was going to be, because they were there to remember the great and graceful Edwin Pope. But they also didn't know Edwin the way that, Greg and I did. And so what I remember sitting
there's a lot in that, oh yeah.
Yeah, well, this is why. Now I want you to put it on your screen now, so this can be as shocking to you as it was to me as a young reporter. And Edwin Pope was old the entire time that I knew him. Edwin Pope was an old man, but he was an old man who drank when he was away from his wife so much that one night he drank with Cody, I'm pretty sure, and drank so much that he came home and he fell over drunk in the hotel room and hit the front of his pec with the corner of the dresser. And when he got home and told his wife what happened, he said he was coming out of the Colts elevator and he had been impaled by a forklift, is what he told his wife.
Yes. Very, very creative.
Yes, because he was a partier. And I want you to now, with this image in your head, imagine me typing Cub reporter. This is the top of the profession. I want to get up there. This old guy who's been old the entire time I've known him is grace and class. All the coaches love him. He's an icon and a pioneer in Miami. And he's typing and he's typing and I'm typing. And he just turns to me. And he says, apropos of nothing, we weren't talking about it or anything, when I was younger, I'd have f***ed a rattlesnake if you held its head for me.
Grace and class, you said.
Two guys here for my friends over at Simply Safe. Springtime is all about fresh air, fresh starts, and freshly cleaned homes. And it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security, the only home security system I use and recommend. I've had it in my home for many, many years. I love it. Springtime to me, we love to travel. And I love the fact that no matter where I am in the world, I can keep an eye on my home thanks to Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe blankets your whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more, plus a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over your property day and night. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. Get 20% off your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. That's simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
I want to bring Renee Montgomery in here to talk about the important stuff that we've been talking about this morning. Vin Diesel and The Rock, this thing is escalating, Billy. It is clear that Vin Diesel thinks Fast and the Furious, that's his set. He's been quoted as saying, tough love for The Rock on his set. Now The Rock is being quoted, I laughed and I laughed hard. I will not be participating in any more Fast and Furious. So download Renee here on which side of this you're on, Billy.
Well, Renee, are you familiar with what's going on? Dan just told you very briefly. Have you seen F9 yet?
I have not seen F9.
What have
I haven't
you been doing?
Seen F2 through 8 as well. So
what?
I know. Yeah, no, I'm not. I haven't.
What have you been up to? Missed
you know, sports. I really like watch a lot of sports or binge watch shows. Apple TV shows are my favorite Netflix originals. But the Fast and Furious series, it just didn't tickle my fancy. Even though my fiance is in like a cameo in there, I still
Even
seen.
Hold on.
I'm sorry. What was that?
I mean,
a quick cameo. She's one of like the car girls on one of the racing things. And so I haven't even seen that whole movie of that one, just to give you guys an idea of like not really watching it. But yeah, that's a little nugget to drop on y'all. My wifey acts and stuff and sings, and she's in entertainment. So yeah, there's that.
And you haven't seen it. I mean,
I know. Don't make me feel bad. Look at fiance. Jessica. Come on. Like I know it's, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it. Binge watch happening.
Do you know which one, Renee?
Gosh, are y'all trying to get me in trouble? I'm just trying to figure out. Are y'all intentionally trying to get me in trouble?
Well, did
here?
You say she's like I watched it? Or like, how do you?
I know. She's in the one where Paul Walker ended up passing away. She was on set with him before he passed away. So it was not a good situation. She's talked about that. So that one.
Wow, you threw a real dead fish on our lap here, Renee. Like we were sitting here, we want to talk about the ego of Vin Diesel and The Rock, and you throw, first of all, I need to backtrack for a second, because Jessica and Billy's behind a mask, and I saw his open mouth because of how delighted they were to learn that your fiancé is in these movies. You swept, Joy swept through this room. Jessica, why did you react like that?
I mean, can she get us in one of the movies?
Yeah.
Can Billy get a cameo?
Listen, I mean, she's about to start getting back into entertainment, so maybe. She went to school and ended up being like a journalism major, and she's into that type of stuff, so she kind of put entertainment to the side for a side. But yeah, I mean, let's get it popping. Let's hop back in there. What's up?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, there's a million journalists. There's only 9 Fast and Furious movies.
Facts. Look, she always is like this overachiever. She was like on a good trajectory, and then she just wanted to go to school and learn and be a journalist Big and mistake. Learn all this stuff. And I'm like, what?
Overrated.
The Rock.
What did journalism school ever do for anyone?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I want to know whose side you're on here. I want to know who you side with, because these guys have substantive ego. And we were talking about, well, The Rock goes on the set and he's like, I'm a bigger star than you are. And Vin Diesel's like, not here, you're not.
That's tough, because I'm probably team The Rock, just because for personal affiliations, I'm team The Rock. So I'm going to roll with The Rock. But the reason I say that is because in sports, we have this thing, it's called like a pecking order. If you're an 11-year vet, yes, that trumps your 9-year vet, but it's a particular thing, because if somebody was drafted to a team and they were at that team for 9 years, then that's kind of their team, even if you come in as the 11-year vet. So in the sports analogy of it, because that's how the world works in sports terms to me, it's tough, because if you are The Rock, you got to be respectful of somebody's set. Like, we know Vin Diesel is Mr. Fast and Furious. He's the main character. But I just am of the respect your elders type of situation, or respect your ranking. So even if, you know, I'm on a team and a vet came to my team and they're like this mega superstar, I'm going to show some type of hospitality to them. That's just me personally. Like, even if I was on the team for 9 years straight, they came in and they are the ultimate superstar, I just kind of like pay my respect. That's just what I do.
Yeah, but I feel like Dwayne's not paying respect to Vin Diesel here. Do you know The Rock, by the way? You said personal.
It sounded like you knew The Rock, too.
Recently, I had to. Well, Danny Garcia is The Rock's ex-wife, and they recently invited me out to like the premiere of The Washington Heist, and I couldn't come. So I do have affiliations with them. So I, you know, what I, Jessica, I'm
wait
sorry.
A minute. What were you doing that day? The Rock invites you somewhere, you say no? What's going on? How are you so busy?
I already had something booked. I know. Listen, everybody in my camp was mad at me about it. We really wanted to go, but we couldn't move the schedule around. They only told me a week and a half before. And it was in LA, Hollywood. I guess, you know, that's how it works in Hollywood, where they kind of give you a 2-week warning. But that's hard for me. 2-week warning is hard.
Let's backtrack for a second, because I don't think that people, maybe they do understand this story, but maybe they don't, because I believe that Renee Montgomery's world and life has sped up a lot in the last 3 years, I would imagine. If you don't know her story, okay, she was an all-star in the WNBA. The WNBA is increasing in ratings. It's getting more popular. It's hipper. And it was at the front of the movement that changed America. They got, you know, that owner out because that team was so strong. Its players were so strong. And they changed Georgia and they changed the election. They just won a humanitarian award. And now she is a minority owner of that team after sitting out a year in embracing the change of America. So seriously, she doesn't have time for this shit. Like, she is like to have a half hour with her is a bit of a treasure, because the last 3 years, Renee, your life has been turned upside down, correct?
No, I mean, it's really accurate. It's in all honesty, it's kind of crazy to me. Like, my family, when we just went to WNBA All-Star, you guys got to remember, it was a pandemic for a year and a half. So during the pandemic, when we were all in the house, that's when, you know, my, like, everything started to rise. The stock started to rise. So I went from when I was in the house, things were pretty normal. And now that things opened up, yeah, I get interesting invites from people that I wouldn't even know knew my name. Like, that's just how I'm being honest. Like, when people invite me to some stuff, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I'm still a little bit surprised. So yeah, I mean, in a good way though, and it's great. You know, our team just won the Humanitarian of the Year award for ESPN. So that was pretty big for our organization. But yeah, to Will Smith, my life got flipped and upside down, and I like to take a minute, just sit right there. That's really like, it's really happening over here in Atlanta. So it's exciting.
I've been trying to get her to do one of these post-game shows with us on when we've been doing with Haberstroh and Amin, and she loves basketball, so I want to talk to her about what Giannis just did, but she hasn't had time. You gotta get it in the calendar months in advance right now because
First of all, Dan, you reach out to me like the day before a day of.
That's how we plan things around here.
Very realistic.
That's how we plan things around here. Get used to it.
That was notice around here, Renee. Like that, they couldn't believe we were doing 2 days of planning. It's my fault. I shouldn't be the one planning it. Yeah, I'm not. We're not. We haven't been planners historically.
Who's someone that you would break that schedule for, though? Like if Will Smith was like, "Hey, Renee, can you come out like on the yacht or something? Let's just chill. We're working really hard. We got to relax, all of us. Bring your fiance. Everyone will be there." Would you say like, you know what?
Issa Rae. I'd have to cancel some things. If Issa Rae says she's turning up somewhere and she wants me to come through, I'm going to have to really call my manager, Paul, and be like, "You're going to hate me, but I am not available that day." Like, yeah, Issa Rae, I think I would break the schedules for some Issa Rae. Yeah. I think she's hilarious, and I think that we would be really good friends. So, yeah, I think that we just need to meet, and then we're going to hit it off. That's just my opinion. But, yeah, Issa Rae, holla at me. If you need me for a project, holla at me because I love her whole ethos of what she did with Insecure and awkward black girl turning into Insecure and how she set her own rules, set her own tone for a big network. I'm like, girl, you badass. So, yeah, Issa Rae. It's Issa Rae all the way.
I'm surprised Obama didn't make that list. I guess you met him already, huh?
Yeah, I met Obama, played some pig horse with Obama at the White House. So I did get to do that. I got Obama's ball, his campaign ball, because I just asked. And he said, "Fortune favors the bold." And he gave it to me for asking. So, yeah, Obama is not on the list. Issa Rae. It's Issa Rae, guys. That's it.
Did you beat him in pig?
We didn't get to finish because he's Obama and we only got to like P.I.
It's
and then
three letters.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. President Obama got to go. They didn't even want him to play in the first place. Let's be clear. He was like, "Yeah, y'all guys want to go play some pig?" And we're like, "Yes." And his people are like, "No, we can't." And he's like, "We'll just play a couple shots." And they're like, "No, we can't." So we went and played just for a little bit.
You didn't bury him? You would have buried him in jumpers. He wouldn't have beat you.
You know what? I don't know where he finds the time, because I know we've all seen clips of where he randomly goes to a gym and he's like shooting and making it. And we're like, what? Because he makes shots. I don't know. He finds time sometime, because there's no way he just goes to the court and he's netting like he is. So he's practicing on the low. I would like to say that, because we didn't beat him.
You were taking it easy on him though, right? Like, you can't go to the White House and beat the president.
That would have been my claim to fame. I don't know what y'all are. I'm not that tight. I'm going to the White House trying to get that dub and then tell everyone that I beat him, but we didn't get to finish.
Renee, how often do you just go, because I don't think people understand what your skill level has to be to reach the professional level that you did. How often will you just go into a local gym pre-pandemic and just torch some dudes because you can?
I did it a couple times on celebrity games, but I don't really go to the local gyms because guys, they get in their feelings. So if you score on a guy at the YMCA, he's going to try to do the most, cross you up, block your shot, foul you to where they could accidentally hurt you because they're just doing too much. They be doing the most. Like, guys can't handle that type of situation where they're at a random gym, they're not expecting a pro baller to come in, they can't handle it. You know, even sometimes our practice guys have gotten in trouble in the WNBA because they're like, all right, their ego comes into it. We're running our plays, we're running through, somebody makes a shot in their face, their ego, it gets really bruised. And so then they start to go hard. So tricky situation, you know, guys, it's a different world when a guy gets scored on a girl.
Renee, we can all agree that the worst guy at the gym is a guy that tries way too hard, undercuts you and fouls. You're on a fast break and he's undercutting your legs, fouling hard for no reason, diving. That's my one thing. I play in a lot of like adult rec leagues, and the guy that dives for the ball at my knees is the worst guy ever.
And that's the guy that no one needs to pick up. But that's also the same guy that has the most swag in the gym. He has the headband. He has the arm sleeve. He came Jordan out. He got the new J's, everything. That's that guy. And that's the guy that I always try to stay away from. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. That guy that you're talking about, that guy is all guys when a woman's there. Like, when a woman is in the building, every guy turns into that guy because they don't want to be the guy that got scored on. So, yeah, that's the worst.
I once unsurprisingly got torched by a University of Miami women's basketball player when I was at the gym. And every guy on the I knew because I covered the women's basketball team. But every other guy in the gym was getting mad. It was like proxy that anger towards
because
me.
Because they thought that you were
I'm
doing
picking
on
her
purpose?
Up and then she would torch them too.
What's her name? Do you remember her name?
Yeah, her name was Morgan Stroman. She played at the University
Shouts
of Miami.
To Morgan, man. Keep torching Morgan! Keep torching him!
It is so funny that we, our frail male egos, would deny Renee the delight. How delightful would it not be for all of us to know that we're going to go into a gym, we're going to be underestimated, and we're going to clown every person in this building, and she's not allowed to do it because we will awkwardly hurt her with our injured pride and our elbows and our knees. We've denied you. Like, you want to go in there and do that? How fun would that be?
Oh, that would be great. I only shoot threes when I play against some little pickup games. It's threes only. You can't drive to the basket. Someone will try to tackle you, take you out at all costs. So it's even funner, though, that, you know, they guard you at the three-point line. You take a step back. Now you're shooting from a step behind the three-point line. They look at you like, shoot it. Yeah, I'll give it to you. So then you make the first one, and they do the dare game where they want to dare you to make it again. And if you make it again, yeah, just like that. Yeah. Oh, she can't. It's fun. It's fun, Dan. I have fun with that.
We're terrible. Dudes,
men are
terrible.
Men are
like,
the worst.
Like, honestly.
Worst.
Honestly, what is the matter with us?
Renee can't go to the
no
go
reason
to the
for
cup.
To exist.
It's
because of men. Guys, am I right?
Jesus.
He said it, not me.
The worst.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Do you believe that Giannis ate 50 minis after the game?
Yeah, my son eats 20 by himself and he's 13. So I like, yeah, I do. I think that like he should have remembered each bucket as he ate it. Oh, my first 2 points were this. My next 2 points, you know, when he gets to the 50, yeah, he should like give us a narration as he's eating the nuggets of the buckets he got during the game. So I would, if I scored a 50 piece nugget in a series winning game, I'm talking about it. Every nugget of it.
Let's talk about this for a second, because I don't believe people have properly appreciated what we just saw. And as a lover of basketball, right, Renee? Like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that dude being that good in that situation is one of those sports things that you should remember the rest of your life, because it's how you'll talk about Wilt 50 years after Wilt.
100%. And even when you think about it, I'd like to make a PSA. I don't feel so bad that the Atlanta Hawks lost to the champions. It's always better to lose to the champs. So that was the easier pill for me to swallow. But I'd also like to apologize to the Bucks. I thought that there was no way in the world that the Milwaukee Bucks would beat the Phoenix Suns with a Chris Paul-led team. So I said it out loud, and I had to admit out loud that I was wrong. I didn't see it happening. And having said that, Giannis, I mean, again, he said it a lot, and he talked about it in his media interviews. He was letting people know, all right, I didn't want to do it the super team way. So we have to give him all the flowers that he took a team in a small market that nobody really goes to in free agency. He didn't even get very many recruits from his superstar friends to come through, and he just won a championship. I don't care that this was the year people got hurt. We don't play those asterisk games. Like, Giannis did something that if you just really go back and look at it, with his skill set, you know, a lot of people thought that he couldn't win with a skill set that he has. He can't shoot from the outside. Even though he's nice and his likability, he's a dog. And I mean that in a good way. Like, Giannis is a dog, and he showed it to everyone.
To Billy's question, though, Renee, I don't think he understands the athlete's body, the coal that furnace requires, and how ridiculously how ridiculously fit Giannis has to be to do what he did in that game on both sides of the court, so that actually 50 nuggets wouldn't be something other than him like popping M&Ms because he needs to feed the furnace. And I don't think you can explain to people what playing at that level for 46 minutes that in a way that we'd ever understand.
Yeah, listen, not just that, but everybody has to remember in the Atlanta Hawks series, his knee bent 15 degrees the wrong way. Like it bent the wrong way. We all saw it. Even when they said that he was going to, even when they said that he was going to be back, everyone was like, what will he look like though? Clearly he's not going to be that good. So for him to come from that series to where it was questionable if he was even going to play, and then to play 46 minutes at the highest level, they were calling him McNuggets. He said he was going to get a 50-piece McNugget at Chick-fil-A. So people should tell Giannis that the McNuggets are at McDonald's. But yes, he deserves to get every single one of those. I love that the fans came out there because Giannis is a once-in-a-lifetime generational talent. Like, he's that type of talent. I don't know. We don't recognize it as such because he's not flashy, the razzle-dazzle like Steph Curry. But he's that dude. He's that dude for real.
Renee, you said you know that Chris Whittingham said that he's a two.
He's a two?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, like a two guard?
No. I said he was a two, like he couldn't be the best player on your team and you win a championship.
I mean, but there's truth to that. He's even said it. Like, I mean, he's even acknowledged that, yeah, Chris Middleton down the stretch, when Chris Middleton has scored 10 points in a row in the fourth quarter and different things, yeah, every Batman needs a Robin, and maybe Giannis and Chris switch outfits throughout the game. I think that's what it is. Like, you be Batman now, I'll be Robin. Like, it's kind of like they got this little thing going on. But, yeah, Giannis is not your typical Kobe Bryant star type where he's going to get the shot at the end of the game no matter what. That's not Giannis's thing.
He tried to get there, right? Jason Kidd turned him into a point guard, and he became the ball handler, and everyone was asking for him to shoot. And in some ways, it was him reverting to an old skill set where he's just going and eating over and over again, and Phoenix could only throw Kaminsky at him or Jay. Like, they had no answer. He just discovered, if I just keep going and going and going at the rim, that they're not going to be able to stop me for four quarters.
But, I mean, and you know, to that point, DeAndre Ayton, we all saw it throughout the games. Monty Williams was giving him pep talks. The team was giving him pep talks. Doesn't anybody realize that Milwaukee watches game film too? So they probably went back, was watching everybody try to pep up and cheer up DeAndre Ayton. And they were probably in the locker room like, Giannis, go at his head. Look at this guy. He doesn't want any parts of it. So I think that DeAndre Ayton's struggles kind of fueled Giannis because he was Euroing, spinning around him. I mean, it was like a highlight reel for Giannis. But to that point, they saw something that they could exploit, and they did it the whole game after that.
Oh, Renee, I want to play something for you of us being loud wrong in a variety of different ways about this series. The Parade of Gas Bags is very popular around here, and this is just sound from us analyzing the game. But before I do that, I do believe that what I was watching there, and I do so little of this, saying what an athlete's thinking or feeling, but because of what you're talking about with the Ayton pep talks, what I thought to myself while I was watching that is DeAndre Ayton is, by any reasonable measurement, more athletic than anyone in the world, any other human being. And he does not have the skill set this other person has who can do all the things he does and this on offense. And so it's just fouls, and Ayton's used to being the best. He's a first round pick, and he's coming up and he's telling us that's the best draft ever. And Giannis just showed him, no, I'm bigger, stronger, faster everywhere. And it's emasculating. You're just talking about, Renee, guys at the gym. It's emasculating what it is that Giannis did to DeAndre Ayton, who doesn't get emasculated by anybody.
I saw a young player, you know, DeAndre Ayton. I could see that he's young. You know, I've been around those young teammates that when you look in their eyes, it's like they call it a deer in headlights almost, to where it's like, this is a big moment. He's young, and maybe he's not saying he's not ready for the moment, but you could tell that that was a big moment for him, and he was frustrated. His emotions were spilling out all over the place. And Giannis, yeah, said, oh, yeah, I saw barbecue chicken. Giannis saw barbecue chicken and was like, I'm going at him every time. Giannis was blocking shots. Giannis was everything that DeAndre Ayton needed to be in that series for Phoenix. So it was like a man playing against a young player because you could just see it.
Let's play the Parade of Gas Bags here. Amin's going to lead it off, right? This should be fun. This is always a delight to recap the year with a bunch of sound where we got it wrong.
Cortez, you honestly think that they're as good as the top three teams? The Sixers?
I think they're better than the top three teams.
That's Sixers, right. Sixers, Bucks, and Nets. Come on, Cortez.
You think I'm afraid of the Bucks?
They're better than they were last year. Are the Heat better than they were last year?
The Bucks are not better than they were last year.
Have you been watching the NBA this year?
Yeah, I have. Mm-hmm. No, that's not true. See, you guys are going to do this again. The Bucks are just as good as they were last year.
Oh, so now they're just as good. Okay, so we've already talked you down. You want to take a look at the standings? Go.
I don't care about the standings.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the team that they have out there and the players that they've got that they've improved.
They're worse.
They're not winning as much. They don't have the same point differential. They were having one of the best regular seasons ever last year until they weren't.
It's kind of turned out in these playoffs, Giannis is probably the NBA's best number two.
Oh.
Because I think it's kind of been determined that he can't be your one. Oh. And like in terms of his specific skill set and the areas of the game in which he struggles, you can't rely upon him to get baskets at the end.
Oh, a little culture chatter here, guys. The Miami Heat tonight, big bounce back win. Book it.
I will not accept as an answer from the group that the difference between what I saw between Heat and Bucks last year and what I saw this year is Drew Holiday. Get out of here.
Holiday and Middleton are just inconsistent. They're just too inconsistent. It drives you crazy sometimes.
You know who they are. The hardest working, best conditioned, most professional, unselfish, toughest, meanest, nastiest, most disliked team in the NBA.
Milwaukee doesn't look like itself against the Heat defense.
It seems like such a dilution of the product for me. It feels like an NBA 2K finals after a league simulation as opposed to what really happens in the sport.
Obviously, in the case of Giannis, we know he wants to. He's playing at the highest stakes possible right now. But I just don't think he has the reaction time because he's not moving as well. Defensively, he can't keep anybody in front of him. His closeouts are very tentative and kind of he's moving gingerly. And then when the player attacks, it's done.
The Bucks are done. The thing about this series is Drew Holiday, the reason why they paid 4 first-round picks in the offseason to get Drew Holiday was that he would be a stopper in the playoffs. And he's not doing that.
I think an injury that the Bucks suffered is actually showing its ugly head here in the finals, and that's Dante DiVincenzo, Omi.
I'm beginning to question everything I've thought about the Milwaukee Bucks. The level of basketball that they've done, dare I say it, this is one of the worst teams in finals history.
You're playing a dangerous game, though, changing your mind in the middle of a series, which allows you to be wrong a number of different times and ways.
To be honest with you, Dan, I have zero confidence that the Bucks can win a game.
Really?
A game.
Oh, my God.
Yikes. Oh, yikes.
Book it.
Book it.
Two Gats here for my friends over at Simply Safe. Springtime is all about fresh air, fresh starts, and freshly cleaned homes, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security, the only home security system I use and recommend. I've had it in my home for many, many years. I love it. Springtime to me, we love to travel, and I love the fact that no matter where I am in the world, I can keep an eye on my home thanks to Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe blankets your whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more, plus a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over your property day and night. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. Get 20% off your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. That's simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.